Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
That's right. It's an NBA edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay. I'm your host, Marlon Weiss, joined here with just a kid from Kansas City, Mark Gunnels. Mark, good job by you today. Way to hold it down for everybody.
Hey, man, I try to do what I can. You know, you saw what Giannis said to KD. You know, if you need help learning how to carry, I can teach you the ways.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm not verbatim there, but that's pretty much what he said to KD. So, yeah, if you need the help carrying, Martin, just holler at me, man.
Oh, thank you for putting the team on your back. And I'll say this, you know, for about five games there, you know, the Lakers traded Russell Westbrook, and it just looked like maybe, just maybe, Anthony Davis may have opened that backpack up big enough to put the rest of the Lakers in it. 4-1 without Russ, and then all of a sudden, LeBron James heard a pop.
Yeah.
And with that, the I was down on the Lakers from the start of the season.
You seem to always be down on the Lakers.
Well,
it's like a yearly thing with you.
I mean, the only time that they have won anything in the postseason with this LeBron era, there was a cataclysmic world shift.
Were you down on them that year?
No, of course not. Okay. They were great.
I mean, yeah, how could you be down? Yeah, just making sure. Just testing right now, the waters.
But the idea that this Lakers team, it would have been fun to see if they could have somehow gotten into the eighth spot and see just what they did with Denver. But at the end of the day, this team is not, to me, a team that was making any noise except for the pop in LeBron's foot. Because as soon as that pop popped, the rest of the season might as well just popped with them.
Well, see, I think you're going a little too far here. I think they still have a chance to get into the eighth spot. If you look at the remaining schedule, they have the fifth easiest remaining schedule. You're going to have D'Lo back most likely, maybe tonight. So possibly he may play tonight against OKC. You have D'Lo, you have Anthony Davis. Last night against Memphis, recorded on a Wednesday, they were competitive. It took a Ja Morant scoring 28 points in one quarter to get some separation in that game against the 2 seed right now in the Western Conference the road.
Yeah, Ja says he's got no worries in the West. So,
well, I mean, I think that's a different.
He does have some worries.
That's a different conversation. But I think you're writing them off too soon here. If you look at the standings, they're only a game out of the 10th spot, which is all you need to get into the play-in. And guess who's in the 10th spot right now? The reeling New Orleans Pelicans, who's lost 4 straight. Zion probably will not play again this year. This guy.
I mean, if you had the 28 points from Ja last night, then maybe New Orleans Pelicans wouldn't be sitting down there.
But look at the two teams they're behind, the Blazers and the Pelicans. You're telling me they can't get into the play-in? I know you said not the 8th seed, so you didn't say the play-in. I want to see where you're at on that. Do you think they make the play-in, first of all?
First of all, Spaghetti, we should look into a cap of consequences over the Lakers over the next 20-some days.
I'm all in.
Because Mark's in, Dave's in, Prather Sal is out, and I'm out as well. So we might have there might be something there. No, man. This team was going to be fighting to get into the play-in regularly. And when you sit there and look at the at the lineup, right? You look at the standings. We're talking about, are the Lakers better than Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Houston, New Orleans, Portland, right? Like, we're not talking about like the top half of the bracket, the top 4 seeds. How many times do you think that the Sacramento Kings would beat the Lakers if they played 7 times?
2, maybe.
See, all right. So we are completely opposite on this. Yeah, no.
You think the Kings will win that series?
I think they'd outscore them.
You're assuming LeBron is healthy too, right?
No, I'm talking about.
Current Lakers team?
This current
Lakers. That's a different conversation. Then I think the Kings would probably win in 7.
Yeah,
6 or 7.
I would have probably picked the Kings with LeBron, but I would think that, you know, it's just, you know, you sit there, you look at it, and the way the Western Conference lines up, and I see the argument, right? Denver's, 5.5, 6 games up, and then everybody else, after you get to, like, Phoenix, they're all, 10.5 to 13.5 games back, right, or 14 games back.
Yeah.
That you could make that up, and, you know, you have 20-so games remaining. Right, it could be made up, I just don't see the path. You know, like, all right, maybe Malik Beasley starts, hits 55% from three. Jared Vanderbilt was giving Luka Doncic all type of hell on Sunday. Maybe he's a real wing defender, right? You still got street clothes.
That's the
You're
thing.
You still waiting on Anthony Davis to punch his hospital ticket.
Well, to be fair, in the last two games, he actually has played really well on both sides of the ball. He had 30 and 15 against Dallas. Against Memphis, he gave you 28 and 19 with five blocks. Martin, do you like that? Does that sound pretty good? So I do think he is getting his sea legs under him. The question is, though, can you rely on him to be available over the next 20 games? Because now you desperately need him to be there without LeBron. He has to be the guy. He has to be the alpha male. He has to set the tone on both sides of the ball. But you say you don't see the path, and I just told you the path, and you ignored it. They have the fifth easiest schedule remaining.
But that is a real thing. That's the problem.
With D'Lo, do you think they stink?
I think, look, the last time.
D'Lo is a real player. He's a real basketball player. He's a real guy.
And you know what?
Like you say, he's a guy.
And you know what, though? If he had played better down the stretch last year, maybe he'd still be in Minnesota. And they wouldn't have moved for Rudy Gobert and completely demolished the good vibes of last season.
He was bad in that series.
He was terrible in that series. He was the reason, like, I would say point at him as the reason why. But they lost that series because the only person who could score the ball was Anthony Edwards for the Timberwolves.
Cat had his moments, too.
But primary ball handler
score. Yeah, right.
There was nobody there to take 8 to 12 minutes off of Anthony Edwards' back.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
The person who would have been there, your boy.
No, 100%. 100%.
So that's kind of like, I get in it. Back to L.A. And he's all, he's matured now. I'm sure Magic Johnson had a tweet about how, you know, you really tell he's growing up and deleted his Snapchat. I think the Lakers were very interesting for about five games. But then once LeBron got hurt, cancel Christmas. This thing is over.
We're gonna do a thing. We're gonna figure something out here. I'm all in. I'm on the inside. I know you're out. I'm in. So we're gonna make a bet or something cool, something funny about this. Let's do it.
All right. We will square the circle on that. Yeah. Probably bring that up to Sal and Dave.
The cap of consequences. Let's do it.
You know, Mark Gunnels famously had to do the Jackson Mahomes dance, right?
Yeah, I'm due for a breakthrough this time.
The Jackson Mahomes dance, that was great. I've tried so hard to make it go viral. I texted so many people.
You sent it to all your group chats?
I sent it to, I even went into a Sports After Dark Twitter space and tried to tweet it, but I don't know how. So I sent it to Ashley Baker. She never replied. Sports After Dark on Twitter. You can catch Mark Gunnels there. He will be talking all his stuff. You can see that every what do you guys do that? I don't even know.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Feels like more. D'Angelo Russell per Fantasy Labs NBA out today. Anthony Davis out today. So would you like to rescind
Would
you like to rescind your opinions?
AD is out?
According to Sham Sharania, he might know a little thing or two about basketball.
Wow, are they punting? Why are they punting on
because
this game?
Because they stink. They're
that
a terrible
is
team.
Terrible. This is a must-win game. If that was the case, he should have set last night against Memphis because that was a way better team. You're probably going to lose that game anyway. And you're playing against an OKC team that's right behind you in the standings. Wow. That's deflating.
Yeah, spaghetti.
That's deflating.
Let's get this cap of consequences going.
That's,
all right.
That's really deflating.
Now.
That just took the air out of me. Wow.
Well, we were down at the Super Bowl in Arizona. You stayed a little bit longer than I did, but there was a buzz in the air, and it wasn't the Super Bowl. It wasn't the waste management tournament or the golf that was going on. Although what it was it's the Slim Reaper traded to Phoenix. He was hurt, Kevin Durant. Hurt, sight unseen. Everybody's like, wait a minute. The Phoenix Suns owner, the owner Matt Ishibia from Michigan State bench warmer, comes in, gets his login ID and password after buying the team, and says, "You know what I'm going to do? damn it, I'm trading for Kevin Durant. Sorry. He goes, I'm trading for Kevin Durant. And so now KD makes his debut tonight for the Suns, who are in the 5 seed right now. But when you look at the gambling odds, second best odds to win the title behind
Boston? They're actually the 4 seed right now. They're a game ahead of the Warriors and the Clippers.
Okay, so they moved into the home court spot. But again, like we said, in the Lakers conversation, they're 10.5 games back. Portland is 14 games back. So all of this is going to be very fluid, and they'll be jockeying for a position and probably trying to get, you know how it is. You know, like, I want this matchup, not that matchup. Mm-hmm. Everybody's kind of trying to position themselves to play Sacramento.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But the question has to ask, I think you have to ask, how many mid-range jumpers will it take to win a title? Because the Phoenix Suns are putting it to the test.
I love how you put that there. I didn't even think about that. That's actually a great analogy. It's not even an analogy. That's reality. Like, I like that a lot. I will say this, though. Circling back to when the trade actually happened. I got off the plane. Not even an hour later. I'm walking into the club. It was a strip club, actually. In Phoenix. A couple of the homies.
See, this guy was living a different life than us. But
I walk into the strip club.
Walk into the strip club.
While I'm at the door, giving the guy my money to walk in. I get an alert from Shams and Woj. Durant has been traded to Phoenix. I'm thinking, I'm a good luck charm in Phoenix. As soon as I get here, they get Kevin Durant. And at that point, I knew the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. But that's besides the point. I think this is a very seamless fit. Kevin Durant is one of those guys that can fit on any basketball team. It's not the, it's Luka and Kyrie. They both need the ball in their hands. How's it going to work? KD doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's a guy that can run off screens, pick and pop. He's a great shooter, like you said, from the mid-range. He can shoot from the outside as well. He's long. He's lanky. He's a guy, especially on that team, when you have a true floor general in Chris Paul, obviously not the same guy like he used to be, but still has the IQ, the smarts of the position to get guys in position. KD's never had this before at point guard. Look at all his point guards he's had. He's had the erratic Russell Westbrook. Then he had Golden State, Steph Curry. Not really your true traditional point guard. He plays off ball.
And Golden State is more.
Yeah, and they don't really have a point guard.
Their point guard.
It's like the system.
Draymond Green.
Yeah, their point guard is like the system there, right? Then you go to Brooklyn, Kyrie. He's a shooting guard in a point guard's body. This is going to be the first real point guard KD has ever had. So I'm really curious to see how this dynamic works now, especially with Devin Booker. That's the person I'm more concerned about here because he's used to having that high volume. And he has games where he shoots himself into a rhythm, right? Kind of like people compare him to Kobe and stuff like that. I don't really buy that comparison. But as far as a rhythm guy, like he may start off slow, but the more shots he gets, the better he is, right? Kind of like a running back. In the fourth quarter, he gets better as the game goes on.
Saquon Barkley.
Right. Now with KD in the picture.
7 carries for 10
yards. Right, right. Then he just pops one for 80, right? Now with KD in the picture, you're not going to have that high volume there. So that's the guy that I'm looking at.
But based off what you just said.
Yeah.
KD's been next to a high volume guy for most of his career. Russ for 10 years in Oklahoma City. And then Kyrie for the last 3. And obviously, like we said, Golden State, the system is a system. It's not really, quote, it's not high volume in the same way that we think about it, even though Steph is taking 10 threes a game, right? Clay's taking 7 threes a game.
Yeah, so it doesn't feel the same.
They're still ostensibly jacking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's a whole bunch of movement, ball movement, back screens. Feels different, right? It's not just you stand there in the corner while I do this.
Right.
But because now with Booker beforehand, he was, and he's I get that he's like 6'5", 6'6", but like he is not the apex type of wing that you think of in terms of Paul, like a Paul George or a Kawhi.
What
I'm saying? Like a younger, like an OG Anunoby, like a guy who is, he is not a, take it down to the block. That's not in his game.
Right,
like,
right.
Don't get me wrong. He'll spin, turn, fade away from you down there.
Yeah.
But he's not about to one dribble, two dribble, put you in the rim like some of these other bigger wing players would. But he was going to draw I just keep it with the Clippers for now, because what they're right with 5 or 6. They very well could be a first round matchup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now Kawhi or Paul George, they got to deal with Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant walks in and he's the number one offensive option, even though, you know, whose team it is, I don't care. But, you know, who's the off, I don't care.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's going to be, he walked in the best player.
Yeah.
Right? But now I feel like Book is just going to be, you know, the guy, you know, he goes from being double teamed in a pickup game, he might not get guarded in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like I, that's why I say how many mid-range shots, because that's the thing I find to be, if there was a spot where this fit isn't seamless, and again, we'll see the debut tonight, they all want to shoot from the free throw line and elbow. Yeah. How many free throw line and elbow shots? Like, it's in the course of the game.
Yeah.
And you think about it, especially in the playoffs, you know, things tighten up, and that's a shot that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, threes and layups are the name of this game.
Yeah.
And so KD is not nearly as explosive as he once was, which doesn't mean that he's not explosive. It's just when you are one of the best basketball players of all time, top 10, you know what I'm saying, of all time, you lose a step, okay, now you're top 17. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he still has slipped a little bit in that regard. It's just waiting for Chris Paul's hamstring to pop, because, you know, it's, what is it now? It's March 1st. It's got about, what, 15 days left?
Gosh.
Am I wrong, though? Like, you know what I'm saying? 15 to 30 days left for that thing until you know, we start hearing the reports of a grade one hamstring strain. And so that's why this offensive diversity, and I like it. They're terrible now, and they're going to be bad for a minute. But I like Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges. And it turns into the Nets. The Nets are terrible. They'll make the playoffs probably.
Yeah.
But they lost to the Alex Caruso Bulls by half a trillion just the other day.
Yeah.
Right? They're not a good team.
Yeah. They've lost 3 straight. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, they're not good. But Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges to me seem to be the type of players that can play winning basketball, especially Mikal Bridges. And he kind of felt like a guy when he was in Phoenix. He's like, man, you know, he's kind of the catch and shoot in the corner. But if he had a little bit more opportunity, I feel like you look at a campaign and it's like, he needs no more opportunity. He has every opportunity that he needs right here, right now. You looked at Mikal Bridges, like, man, but again, he's up there competing for shots with Book and Chris Paul. I'd like to see how he's going to play out in Brooklyn, and I know that's the least interesting side of the trade, but
yeah,
I find it, because the Nets were this before.
Yeah,
they were like this young upstart, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, you know, fighting for the 5 seed, you know, trying to get home court advantage to then eventually get bumped, but they felt good about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there was no good feeling out of Brooklyn.
Remember they had D'Lo?
Yeah, you feel good.
They were dancing on the sidelines and stuff.
Exactly. And then you trade for, Kevin Durant and the Grim Reaper. And
James Harden.
There you go.
But I'm glad you brought up Mikal Bridges, because they did lose a lot defensively on the perimeter. He's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. Even Cam Johnson get after defensively as well. KD's not the same defender that he used to be. Yeah, he was at one point an all-NBA defender from a talent perspective. People forget that, especially in Golden State. And now with these injuries.
He was the big man.
Yeah, yeah. And right, he was rim protecting. So now at this stage of his career, with all these injuries piling up, their perimeter defense is a big question mark, because now you're going to have Devin Booker out there on the wing, Kevin Durant, who can't move his feet laterally, old Chris Paul. And then so you're relying on DeAndre Ayton to be the guy to clean things up inside. And we know at times he can be very, very finesse. And to me, that is a concern. And now you lost some depth as well. And you brought up the Chris Paul hamstring thing, right? So now you're really relying on this top heavy roster to play heavy minutes in the playoffs. I'm talking north of 38, 40 minutes a night, because they don't have the depth, because Cam Johnson was a vital piece. Obviously, Jay Crowder didn't play that much, but he was still part of the trade, who was another 3-and-D guy. And then, like I said, Mikal Bridges. So they have to stay healthy, and they're going to have to outscore people. Like you said about who else are we talking about? The Kings, right? Mm-hmm. But the difference is the Kings shoot a lot of threes. They got a lot of guys that can shoot some threes outside of De'Aaron Fox on that team. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I know tonight they just play Charlotte, so we won't get too much of a litmus test tonight. But I'm looking forward to see how these last 20 games go in Phoenix.
You know, and we'll get to this in a minute, but people talk about the load management and guys sitting out and guys not playing and changing overtime rules and stuff. And I'm like, you know, everybody like, stop, don't do that. But then I watched LaMelo Ball just break his foot standing there. He just did a crossover and it was over.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I guess, you know, injuries happen. It's a freak sport. And then, you know, you got your Lonzo or your Kawhi. It's like you have continual injuries and they continue to happen because you continue to play basketball. Like if you just probably stopped, you wouldn't have degenerate knee, you know, issues. But I don't know if there is an answer. But let's take a quick break and we'll get into the conversation that dominates the NBA, the MVP.
The thing about Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows, Caesars Palace. I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
See, Mark Gunnels, this is what I tried to tell y'all last year. The best player on the team atop the standings should be the MVP. Like it should have been Giannis Antetokounmpo last year. And because of that, you're going to have Nikola Jokic win three MVPs in a row, who's currently on an eight-game playoff losing streak. We'll see what happens this year. But as we were talking about with the Lakers, everybody in America was running to pick the Lakers over the Nuggets in the first round after that 4-1 start after the trade deadline.
I was one of them.
Running! So make it make sense to me how this is about to be a three-time MVP who's never, prior to this year, finished in the top two in his own damn conference.
So, this is the funny argument, right?
No, so I'm sorry, because I cut my own self off. The conversation should be, if the two-time MVP, about to be third, is six games up in the Western Conference with 20 left, we should be talking about how it's their chip to lose. And if that's not the conversation.
I'm going to push back on that part.
Two-time MVP.
Ship to lose, considering when I think the two teams in the East at the top are better than Denver top to bottom. If you're talking about record, they all have 44 wins. Now, the loss column is a little different, but I think those are the clear three best teams. But I think the top two reside in the Eastern Conference, with the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks. So I won't go that far to say it's their title to lose or that's what the conversation should be. I think the conversation should be that the Western Conference is theirs to lose. I think that's the better argument there because you did allude to them being six games over the next team behind them, which is Memphis.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
I think that's more fair.
I will take that, but that's not the conversation I've heard.
What have you heard?
Everybody was picking one of the worst teams in the West to beat this Denver team.
Okay, let's not be disingenuous here. You're talking about the Lakers, right?
The Lakers, I don't have to be disingenuous. Look at the standings. There's 14 teams.
Okay, but Mark, they're clearly not the same team they were after all the trades they made. They rehauled their whole entire roster. So if they had this whole entire, if they had this roster for the entire season, their record would not be this bad. So that is a very disingenuous argument for you to make. And I know you're better than that. They are not the same team. They have like four or five new guys playing real minutes.
When I just noticed, Michael Jordan won the MVP in 88, 91, and 92. That 92 season, you remember the 92 Bulls? That's what, you know, it's one of the things that they talk about.
Yeah.
We're not going to be talking about the 2023 Denver Nuggets.
If they win the championship, we will.
They're not going to win a championship.
I'm just saying, but if they do, they're going to win it. I don't have them winning it.
How far do they get out of the West?
As things currently sit, I would have them.
If they play Portland, they're going to lose two games.
Nah, I think they'll win in five. I think as of right now, as things currently stand, I have them coming out the West. And that's without knowing that LeBron's going to come back or not. And that's without me seeing KD on Phoenix yet.
I think.
I reserved my judgment to change.
I think that we.
I reserved, yeah.
I think LeBron's done.
Okay.
I think LeBron's
going to be done for the year. Very well could be.
So you got the Denver Nuggets coming out the Western Conference.
Yes, I do. As of right now.
You know what? I appreciate that. That's the accurate and correct take that you should have. That you should have. I'm just serious. If you're telling me that this guy was the back-to-back MVP because he had no help at all. Jamal Murray's hurt. Michael Porter Jr. is an anti-vaxxer, and he's hurt too. You know what I'm saying? So it's all this type of stuff going through here. Look, if they don't have postseason success this year, to me, they have the most pressure on them. Like, you have the two-time, soon-to-be three-time MVP. Like, the most valuable player in the league. Patrick Mahomes, for example, won the MVP this year. What did you expect him to do in the playoffs? Go crazy. Aaron Rodgers, when he won the back-to-back MVPs, what did everybody say about him? Oh, well, you know what? He's not getting it done in the playoffs. Look at his body language against San Francisco.
Yeah.
But Jokic, everybody's just like, oh, man, his VORP is great. His Raptor is great. And look at how, oh, he tries so hard. Look at his arms. Look at the scratches on his arms.
You don't see his plus minus numbers?
I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, that's kind of what I was thinking the whole time we were talking about the Lakers when you were bringing up this number and that number. Anthony Davis is scoring this many points and they were competitive against Memphis. They lost. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, sure. It's not, degrees to losing, you know what I'm saying? But it's still, they lost. Like, Jokic hasn't been successful. The only time he's had playoff success was in the bubble.
Yeah, when they came back against the Clippers down 3-1.
And Utah down 3-1.
Yeah, and then they went to the, lost to the Lakers.
They lost to the Lakers in the conference finals. In which,
and AD played out of his mind in that series.
Was dragging this dude up and down the court. And I like watching Jokic play.
Sometimes I can't tell.
No,
because every time we had these conversations, you're always on the other side bashing them.
Because it goes like this, man. It reminds me of rap. And there was a period in time, I'll say like 2010-ish. Nah, I'm out of college by now. Like, it's like 2015-ish or something around that window, where everybody was just like, the best three rappers alive are Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole.
Oh, yeah, that was the consensus.
That was just the consensus. Yeah. It was just like, it was just a statement that was said. Like, oh, you know, LeBron spent $1 million on his body. It's just said, and nobody ever looks it up. And I was just like, yo, one of these three is not like the other. Yeah. And the answer is J. Cole. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's where I'm at with this. It's like, am I denying that Nikola Jokic is a great player? Of course not. First ballot, starting in the All-Star game, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? He's top five, six, seven players in the league. But also, if I needed a guy to win a series, he would be fifth or sixth or seventh on the list.
I mean, I don't really push back that much on that.
So then what are we doing?
But at the same time, it's a regular season award, Martin. That's one thing I keep trying to get through your head. The playoffs don't have no indication on the MVP regular season award.
That's why Giannis absolutely had to get it done. And that's why he should have the third of this of Jokic's first MVP. They got it because voted fatigue for Giannis because, you know, he had had so much regular season success, but he couldn't turn it in the playoffs. Am I wrong? And now, I mean, now the guy's a champion, so it looks different now. But it's a regular season award. They were the 6th seed. They were the 3 seed. All right, it's a regular season award. Guess what they're doing? Running through the Western Conference. This is
he elevated his team last year. Do you know who his second best player was a season ago? It was freaking Will Barton or Aaron Gordon, who only averaged 15 points a game. That was his second and third options last year. He averaged 27.
Because it wasn't a very good
team. Michael Porter only played 9 games. Jamal Murray wasn't even there. And he elevated them in a tough Western Conference. That's the exact same reason. Were you pushing back on Russell Westbrook when he won MVP?
Yes.
They were a 6th seed and he averaged a triple-double.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Okay,
How valuable could he be? They're not winning any games.
At least you're keeping the same energy. I'm just making sure you're keeping the same energy.
You got it. Like, and baseball goes way too far with it with the stats. NBA's trying its hardest to do so. So I'm glad, thank goodness, that Jokic is at least will have home court advantage this playoffs. As he wins his third MVP. But imagine if you gave the freaking MVP to, Spaddy, close your ears, Daniel Jones. Because they made the playoffs. Because he elevated the roster. Because they got no receivers to throw to. So
but he doesn't have the stats. Come on. But that's a bad argument.
It is a ridiculous premise that the team, like the MVP can come from a team that is not in the top 2. It's got What are we talking about? But anyway, that's the problem. That's why people keep moving the goalposts. And I like Pepperidge Farm, I will remember how people have made all these different arguments. And now the fact that Jokic is actually checking the boxes that should matter for MVP, and everybody's just going to act like the last 2 years didn't happen.
Okay, so as we settle on this conversation, I was going to make sure we had this on record. A successful playoff run to you that will make you happy is at least making it to the NBA Finals, coming out the West.
I want to see at least a competitive conference final.
Okay, so even just making the conference finals.
If they go to the conference final,
and they lose in like a game seven or something.
They lose in a tight game seven. They lose in a game six where the margin was, you know, one of those.
Couple possessions here and there.
Yeah, they lose in a game six, but the total margin of point differential was like 30, right? So it's like they lost each game by 5 points or something like that. They're in each game. I could get with you.
Okay.
Then I can get with you. Okay. Like what Giannis did last year.
Okay.
We lost to Boston, but you see him at the end of the game, at the end of the Boston series. He's on the bench just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I need a beach. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm beat. Like, I'm exhausted. I got no gas left in the tank. And that's without his Chris Middletons and the Brooke Lopez's and whoever else was hurt for Milwaukee at the time.
Well, we'll see. And their second round matchup as of right now could be very, very troublesome. Because look who the 4 and 5 is right now. They'll either play the Suns or the Warriors as things stand right now in the second round.
If the Warriors play the Nuggets in the first round and Steph is healthy,
it'll be the second round. But
who knows?
I mean, as of today, things could change.
But in general, if the Warriors run into Denver, good luck. If Phoenix runs into Denver, good luck. Secretly, do they have the guards to keep up with Sacramento?
No.
Sacramento's going to score.
Sacramento's going to score
125 points a game.
But they also play no defense.
They can only score 2 or 3 points at a time. You know, I get the no defense thing, but it's not like if Sacramento scores 120 points in the playoffs, right? They're scoring like what, 130 now? So maybe slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, we got to assume the playoffs, things are going to tighten up. Guys are going to play really more hard defense, right?
Yeah, so they're averaging 120 points per game. So let's take it down to 110, right? Five less possessions. Can Denver score 110 points in the playoffs?
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
With Jokic on the floor?
100%.
By the end of this season, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Nikola Jokic. That's going to be the list of the three-time NBA MVPs. In like the words of the
three,
internet.
Three in a row?
No, it's three-time in general.
LeBron has to be on there. LeBron's won four.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, then LeBron.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you don't find an outlier there. You don't find a J. Cole in your Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole.
Well, it's unfair. His book is still being written, Martin.
J. Cole had more albums to rap.
I'm just saying, man. We can't write the book on his story yet. He's only 28 years old. He's going to play another 10 years. The way he plays, he played another 15. He doesn't run or jump.
Part of the problem. So for me, this was my team that had the most to prove post All-Star break into the postseason. You have, because Jokic has everything to be a Pantheon great NBA player besides record. The wins, right? That's what's holding him back. So like
playoff wins.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, playoff success. So yeah. Like that's to me was the biggest. Sacramento's fun. Ja's cool because he's, you know, he talks a lot of stuff, but ultimately that team's not real. Phoenix, but you got Kevin Durant for more time. Golden State's won four championships this decade. The Clippers got some pressure on them there. Dallas, sort of. I mean, especially after you think of making the moves. But to me, they may be in the East, Boston, after getting there last year, Missoula. But to me, it's number one with a bullet. The Denver Nuggets have got to have a successful showing this postseason.
Yeah, I think they definitely have some pressure. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't say they have the most pressure. I think the Clippers have the most pressure. When you think about the acquisitions they made, Kawhi, PG. They made these, it feels like almost 10 years ago they got these guys together, right?
Well, it was the summer league in which Zion Williamson debuted. So just goes to show you. That's how long ago that was.
Yeah, and they have nothing to show for it besides one Western Conference Finals appearance where Kawhi actually wasn't even a part of. It was Paul George and company going on that run there where they beat Utah and then they were competitive against Phoenix in the Conference Finals. I think, you know, you had all the hype of we're the kings of L.A. now. You got all the billboards and things going on with Kawhi, with the keychain, with the crown on it. You know, all of that noise.
Doing commercials with Jack Harlow.
Yeah, and you haven't even made the finals yet. And the Lakers have won a championship during that period. I think, obviously, these guys are not getting any younger. We know Kawhi's knees are pretty shot. He's playing really good now, but their window is closing. They're not going to have too many more opportunities with this current roster. Like I mentioned, these guys are not getting any younger. Kawhi, we know, is not available for half the season. Paul George, we know his playoff makeup and his rap sheet there. Ty Lue.
He did not follow his normal pattern, Paul.
No, that's fair.
Last year, I was like, wait a minute. Playoff P?
That's fair.
Is that you?
That's fair. But then also, now you add in the big elephant in the room. Russell Westbrook is now part of the picture, right? And he's a guy, obviously, a future Hall of Famer, but he's never won a championship.
That's another one that we just say. Like Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole. Russell Westbrook, future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. it robbed the tongue so easily, too. It's crazy. But, yeah, I just think we have all those factors in together, man. I think they have the most pressure considering their window, to me, is probably the smallest out of the team that you mentioned. Denver, their core is not going anywhere. They're all locked in for another 4 or 5 years. Boston, they're all under 25. Who else did you mention? Memphis, they're young. The Warriors have already won, so there's not really no pressure there. They won four times. So
then in the East, there's not really.
I think Philly has some pressure.
I do too.
When you consider their roster construction.
I think the pressure there is, it's like, okay, we got a guy who, you know, they got to look at, in Philly, they got to look like we have an MVP as well, right? Like we got Joel Embiid. Yeah. We haven't. seen. We haven't played 8 consecutive playoff games. What is it, 10 playoff games in a row with them yet?
Yeah.
Because they keep losing in the second round.
Yeah.
I think it's still Denver.
And why? Elaborate a little bit more. Considering what I said about the Clippers not having this biggest window because they're older, Denver, they're going to be around for the next 4 to 5 years.
Kawhi's already got his chip.
Yeah, but what about PG, Russell Westbrook?
I think.
And what about just the,
look,
forget Kawhi. I know he went in Toronto, but look at him in LA, though. That's a different dynamic. Him as a Clipper, considering, like I said, all the hype, all the noise, and everything they did just to acquire him and PG. They gave up a lot of assets, man.
I mean, they did.
They mortgaged their future.
I mean, they did, and you see where they are. You know, I think that they probably have. I mean, they won the battle of LA to me, like
even though the Lakers won a championship.
Bro, I hear that, and I respect it.
Are you not saying the bubble can't? You saying not, the bubble's guy? You one of them guys? Okay, okay.
I'm not an anti-bubble guy okay. because everybody else was in the bubble.
Just making sure.
But it's they've had if you take away the championship, which duh, but consistently. The Clippers have been the better team.
It's a weird thing, right? Because outside of that one title, Lakers missed the playoffs every other year.
They've missed the playoffs every single year. The Clippers.
Well, except that year when they played Phoenix, lost the first round.
The Clippers ended the Utah Jazz. Remember? They just ended that.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell played for another team. Gobert played for another team. Like, this Clippers team had some moments throughout it, you know, and then, but it's been a, I'd say it's been a failure. But when you look at Russ coming and adding to this team, I don't see. Mark Medina said this. I'm stealing it from him, but he said it's like the plot of Home Alone 2. You know that everybody's packed up, ready to go.
Yeah,
and you're still gonna leave Kevin. You know what I'm saying? You still left him. Like, you know what I'm saying? You could do all of this different stuff. Make sure he's in the car. No, you're still gonna leave Kevin at the end of the day. Russell Westbrook is still gonna leave that guy wide open in the corner in a double overtime game. That, you know what I'm saying, at the end of regulation, that then pushed the game to double overtime, even though he had 17, 14, and 7 turnovers, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like he's out there being an active participant. However, sometimes that's not the best. But, you know, I think it's telling that in the fourth quarter in overtime, Eric Gordon saw all those minutes instead of Russell Westbrook. I think there was ever a person that seemingly could get Russ, Paul George, and so on to cooperate with one another and work together, I think it'd be Ty Lue. That's the one thing that has me thinking the Clippers may not be a disaster with Russ.
Here's my thing with the Clippers. You would think based on reputation, you hear Kawhi, you hear PG, you think they're a great defensive team.
No, they're not.
They're not at all. Like I said, recording on a Wednesday, I watched the game last night against Minnesota. I've watched a lot of Clippers games as of late. They get beat off the dribble consistently. Like, guards are getting to their spots at will. Kawhi cannot move laterally the same like he used to. PG, not sure what's going on there. But it all starts at the point of attack. They don't have a point guard that can set the tone defensively at the head of the snake. And then it breaks down their whole entire defense. And they have no rim protection. I'm sorry, Plumlee is not going to do it. He's not the guy. Zubac is not the guy.
How does Rudy Gobert have one first half rebound last night?
I don't get it. I don't know how that happened.
And I bet on it.
You should have had like
10 and a half.
15 plus.
I was like, come on. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I can't believe it.
The Clippers are so small.
Can't believe I lost that bet. That was embarrassing. Nas Reed out there looking like Shaq.
LeBron shouted him out on Twitter. You see that?
You know what, LeBron? Just sit there and watch the games like everybody else. That's what I got to say to you, pal. Oh! Straight from the desk of Eddie Spaghetti. Actually, let's take a quick break, and I'll get to that right now. All right, Mark. I do want to talk about this new NBA target score rule in overtime. And we'll give our lemon pepper parlays in just a moment. But straight from the update desk, Eddie Spaghetti, there's optimism that Golden State Steph Curry will return sometime on next week's 3-game road trip, which begins Sunday's first the Lakers. Warriors play the Thunder on Tuesday and the Grizzlies on Thursday. Steph been out with a lower leg left lower leg since February 4th. Eddie, please let's get this Capricornus for the Lakers because this last hour is just, I feel like my odds have increased dramatically in the last hour of recording this podcast.
Yeah, the Warriors have actually won three games in a row. Klay Thompson's looking like the old Klay Thompson.
Yo, 36 two nights ago?
Yeah, I believe so. And don't forget, they're also without Andrew Wiggins. He's been out because of family personal issues. So
personal issue, yep.
Those are arguably, you know, those are obviously their best player. Then you could argue Wiggins is second or third. So, I mean, they're a sleeping giant, which is crazy to say for the defending champs, right? The team that's won four championships this decade, as you alluded to earlier. But this West is wide open. Even though I said I would go with Denver as of today, there's no team on here that you have full confidence in. They all have their flaws.
You would think that back-to-back MVP might have a little confidence in that team.
Well, considering, you know, the playoff success in the past, I can't have full confidence.
I bet you can't. I bet you can't. So, speaking of Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers, as we were last break, Bleacher Report NBA insider Eric Pincus is reporting Commissioner Adam Silver is considering implementing a target score in overtime. Quote, that would prevent overlong broadcasts and overloading player minutes like Los Angeles Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard playing 46 minutes in a double overtime loss to the Kings on Friday. What do you think about this?
It's soft.
Oh, God.
It's very, very soft. We're going way too far into this load management thing. We're leaning way too deep into it. I don't like it at all. This kind of gives me vibes of, is this the All-Star game? Are we're playing an All-Star game in a regular season now? Is that what we're going to be doing? Like how in the fourth quarter you have a target number to get to? Shout out to Kobe, RIP. Yeah, I just don't like it at all. I mean, why? Why change it? It's been working for all these years. The NBA's been around for how long? And we've never had an issue with overtime. So now all of a sudden, because Kawhi's knees are messed up, we're going to change the rules? Is Kawhi going to be in the NBA for the next 20, 30 years? I mean, I just don't understand. So I don't like it at all. I think it's really bad for the league. And it messes up not only, to me, the integrity of the game.
The integrity of the game is a question.
I think it messes up the integrity of the game. And then also, you're messing up with stats, right? Because what's the target number going to be?
30.
20. 30? That's longer than a regular overtime. They don't even score 20 in overtime. It's only 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. What
target I need to know the number before I can really give my full analysis of it.
Let's say it's 15.
To me, that doesn't change
first
much.
First to 15 win.
To me, that doesn't change much then. Because if you look at overtime scores, they're normally in that area of scoring like 15
14.
Or so.
That's why I picked 15. It's like generally the winning team in overtime will have 14 to 17
Yeah,
points.
So to me, it's what's the point?
I kind of like it. I like
it. And is this just for the first overtime or is it goes if it goes to multiple?
Well,
just,
it can't go to it won't
oh,
go
well,
to
yeah, I guess it, yeah,
because
you're right.
The target score.
Right, right.
I like it.
I'm surprised you liked it.
I don't like overtime as a principle. Just in general. I just don't like it.
So you want to end in a tie?
I almost would prefer it.
Really?
I almost would.
Martin Wise would prefer a tie?
Like, I don't hate the way that the NFL ends games in ties. Like, it is not something that drives me crazy about it. They played 60 minutes or, you know, they played 75 minutes. They had 15-minute overtime or 10-minute overtime. So, 70 minutes. And then turned out they were even. Like, obviously, postseason, you know what I'm saying, you have to advance. But, yeah, I don't have the biggest problem with it. Like, when I go to see a movie in a movie theater, I start to get mad every minute past, like, you know, 3 hours and 15 minutes. Like, that's a high bar.
I'll get it. See, it wouldn't take me that long.
But like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a 2-hour, 45-minute movie, and I'm like, man, this thing has been all right. Like, I'm just ready to do something else. I could be enjoying what I'm doing, but I'm ready to move on to something else. And in today's day and age, if you want to tell anything that makes the regular season matter more in the NBA, I am for. And so if you're telling me that Kawhi can't play on Thursday because he played 47 minutes on Monday. All right, let's make it so that I only ever play 45 minutes ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the most you can possibly play in a game ever. You know what I'm saying? 40 minutes ever. Like, we got to make the regular season in this sport matter more than it does now. Then some of the award voting and so on, I've been over there, but, like, some of that, I think, has played a part. You have guys just missing time in general. Whatever can make the regular season matter more. Because you know what matters? They play primetime games in the NBA every night. But Sunday Night Football feels like it matters. Thursday Night Football feels like it matters. Like, what games feel like they matter in the NBA? The Sunday Showcase, maybe? And then last Sunday, it was LeBron, the 13th seed in the West, versus the Mavericks, the 8th seed in the West, or 7th seed in the West.
Here's my thing. I don't think it changes that much because out of an 82-game season, how many games are you planning to actually go to overtime? You probably, what, 5?
Oh, no, I think...
That's about, like, for each team.
Yeah, I'd say more than that. I'd say probably 10.
You think each team plays 10 overtime games?
I think if you look at overtime records, obviously, 10 will probably be the max.
Yeah, that seems pretty hefty.
Well, I just look at the box scores at the end of each night. One game's going to overtime.
Yeah, I mean, but it still doesn't move the needle to me. That's what? That's 10% of the season?
It's a lot of – how much is guys load managing out of the season? 15%? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're Joel Embiid or whoever. Whoever's a load management candidate. Steph Curry, whoever a load management candidate would be. Dame. How many games are they sitting out for that? Probably 10%, 15%. They're not sitting out 30% of the games.
Ultimately, this is just a stepping stone to change what you are trying to envision with load management. You have the ultimate plan, which is shortening the schedule.
Yeah.
That's the real action to correcting load management and making games matter more. Like you said, I think you said start on Christmas Day.
I've refined it now.
Oh, okay.
I would start Christmas Eve.
Okay.
I would have the whole league play Christmas Eve.
Okay, and then have like the real showcase
and
games.
And then have showcase Sunday. All right, okay. But just showcase Sunday style games on Christmas Day. They still have a Christmas Day vibe.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's how I would rock.
Okay. And just for a reference, I know it's just one team, so it's not the entire league. I looked at the Lakers' schedule. Obviously, 20 games left. So far, they played 5 overtime games with 20 games left.
So you probably figure at that rate they'll finish with 7.
Yeah, give them a couple more. So,
but yeah, I anything that makes the regular season matter more. Anything that like if you because I is the play in overtime that great? Like, and it's coming off of this Clippers Kings game, which had a ton of skill and high scoring. But was it great basketball? Were you enjoying yourself watching it?
I did.
Yeah,
I did. I like seeing high level shot making. Then that's what that gave me.
I need some defense out here. Somebody get in front of somebody, please.
That's that Detroit background in you, man.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Bad Boys, Pistons. You want to see people get knocked out with elbows and stuff.
Well, it is professional sports. I do like to see when guys try. All right, Mark. What's your lemon pepper parlay for this week?
Well, I had to make an adjustment. I did have Lakers money line before you told me the news tonight. So now I'm going with Sixers money line. I got it at -110. They're playing the Miami Heat. It's a pick 'em on the spread. They just played a couple nights ago. The Heat stole that game. So I love the Sixers in this revenge spot, less than 48 hours. And then I'm pairing that with the over on total points for Jason Tatum at 27.5. Against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I got it at -127. And you know why? Because his last two games, he has stunk. He hasn't scored 20 points in his last two games, which to me, I feel like he's due.
Got ejected last week.
Yeah.
Ejected on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that.
I think he's due. In the two meetings against Cleveland this year, he's averaging 29 points a game. So give me that at 27.5 and Sixers money line.
So I do like Boston. I'll take the 5 on Boston. I do like Boston. I like Cleveland a lot, though, in general. Mm-hmm. I think that Cleveland is going to be a team in the postseason that's going to cause problems in terms of – we didn't talk about it, but Donovan Mitchell also scored 70 points this season in the flow of the game style like Dame did last time. Like, it wasn't like – Dame hunted a shot or two at the end, but, I mean, like, realistically
– yeah, it wasn't forced.
65 of them, they need it. You know what I'm saying? Right, like, right, they
right.
need it.
Right.
And I like their bigs, their young bigs, but I do think Boston is a – it goes – the Eastern Conference goes Milwaukee and Boston – and then Philly and Cleveland, and then everybody else.
Yeah, I agree.
But for today, I'm taking the 5 with the Celtics. I do think that your boy bounces back, Jason Tatum. And I'll pair that betting against the Detroit Pistons. I'll take the Chicago Bulls on the spread. The Pistons are horrendous. And Cade Cunningham, the only sign of hope. He's done. Jaden Ivey is figuring it out. He has a chance to be a good player. You know, I think he has a chance to be a good player.
Yeah.
But that team's really, really bad.
Detroit basketball.
Well, back when they were doing that, Chauncey Billups was playing for them. Now he coaches the Portland Trailblazers, so it's been a minute.
Right.
But with that, I think we'll wrap up this edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. Mark, any last words?
The Lakers are depressing me.
I'd be depressed too if I had picked them to make the playoffs.
But I'm still sticking with my plan.
He's still standing. He's still strong.
Yeah. Remember, it's the. I'm just saying play in, not the playoffs, just the play in.
That's all right. They ain't going to be play in nothing in this postseason basketball.